Audacity again on my side. It's recording waveforms. I'm ready when you are. What? Did I jinx you this time? All right. Yeah, formerly. Yeah, no, I'm just a bum who doesn't do anything. Well, I remember I had a corporate sponsor, so I wasn't using. I remember you and Ian talking about me once, and you're like, he can't be living off those views, and you're right, it was a corporate sponsorship. So no, I've just been taking it easy lately and like doing like landscaping and stuff around the house and yeah. Actually, right now it's actually pretty nice. We had like a heat wave last month, but when I was moving, lovely, but yeah, it's not too bad. You know, it's like putting rocks around and stuff. So that's kind of like that's what I've been doing lately, actually. So, yeah, kind of. I'm still working on some gaming projects in the background, but I'm just kind of taking it slow because we had 8 solid years of doing that show. So, ooh. Yes. Yep. Yes, last Friday. So we'd been, well, I'd been planning to leave since like 2016. So it was a very long, drawn out exit. But yeah, I think it was like November or something. Like Newark, the corporate people, they were bought out by another company, Avnet, and then the Avnet people were like, "Well, we like the Ben Heck show. We should do another season of it." I'm like, "Okay, I'll do one more season." But it turned up being like a year and a half because the new company, the parent company, they did not have their fiscal years aligned. So it was like one fiscal, no, it was like half of a fiscal year, then another full fiscal year from the new company. If that makes any sense. Yes, so if Element 4, so if this, okay, this is like November 2016, right? So I think Element 14, yeah, Element 14's fiscal year ends in like, I want to say it ends in the summer, then the new parent company was in the winter. No, I'm sorry, I got that the way around. The new parent company has a summer to summer fiscal year, right? So when we decided to do another season of the show, which would have been like, you know, November, October-ish 2016, it's like, okay, we're going to do 6 more months on the original company's fiscal year, close out Newark's fiscal year, which ends in June, and then basically because it was a merger of two companies, the show and the last season ended up being 1.5 years because the fiscal years of the two combining companies were not aligned. Does that make any sense? Yep. Right. Yeah, right. So the goal all along was basically to have a cool electronic show. And then that was basically meant to get people interested in like the Element 14 brand or drive them to the community. But yeah, as far as the show itself goes, they always gave us a lot of autonomy, so that was always nice. I mean, from time to time they'd be like, "Hey, TI has a dev kit. Can you do a video about it?" And then we'd have to like kind of make a project around a dev kit. Some of those didn't work out. Some of those weren't the most fun because, you know, we're basically trying to, you know, design a project around a product rather than using the right product for the desired project. Aside from that, though, they always, yeah, it was always pretty smooth. They treated us well. So, yeah, so the final season was like a year and a half. And then, yeah, as you mentioned last year, I was hinting at it. And then also about a little over a year ago, we tried to change the name of the show, right? Because we wanted something other than Ben Heck Show, because we knew I was going to be leaving in like a year. But then everyone complained on YouTube. It's like, no, no, you can't change it. And then they're like, okay, we won't change it. And it's like, well, you got to eventually. And shake my head. But yeah, I did it for pretty much exactly 8 years. It was like July of 2010. And then until the end of last month, June this year. Right. So we have as many subscribers as the average cat channel. So that's pretty cool. Have you noticed that there's a lot of really good YouTube channels that tend to like top off at like 600, 700, 800,000? It's like a plateau. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the more they're... oh, shit. Sorry, I accidentally clicked on one because I was trying to look at something. Yeah, I think, you know, it's an ever bigger pile of hay, and we're all just needles in that stack. Oh, okay. I can kind of hear. Are they throwing rocks around? Oh, I cut a rock yesterday. What a coincidence. Well, I ghetto cut it. So I was like, how can I cut this with the tools I have here? Because most of my stuff is still at my shop. But I did have my angle grinder here. So I cut a groove on the, because it was like a flat stone. I cut a groove on the top and then a groove on the bottom with a magic marker mark. And then I took the blunt end of my axe and it was like clunk, clunk. It was very satisfying. Well, one of my first jobs when I was a teenager was I helped with my stepdad's construction company. So I know how to like nails and saws and I know all that stuff. Uh-huh. Right. Yep. Yep. That's exactly how it works. And then you know what's funny? Then you flash forward to the present and you're trying to show your parents how to use a computer and they don't understand anything and they get really frustrated and it feels like we've come all the way back around. Right. Well, it's not biological hereditary. It's you know, what you pass down. So, you know, whatever. Oral history. Damn. I was actually my dad would have been 75. That's weird. Now that does sound weird because usually people they're either, you know, consistently stubborn about it always, or they keep up with it. Because yeah, that is kind of weird. Like I mean, I know a lot of old people that are like what I would call like aggressively stubborn about electronics. Like they're like the guy at the end of the bar saying, "Computers, I don't even know how to turn on a computer. I make $9 an hour." You know, that guy. Yeah, that's kind of weird. I wish my parents would have cared more about computers, but oh well. But then he just stopped caring. Huh? Maybe was it when he retired? He's like, "I don't care. I'm not going to keep up anymore." Right. The Uber. Oh, I have a bill here on my desk. It's in an envelope. So I still do envelopes for most of my bills, actually. So, well, see, everyone's got their thing. Yeah. Wow, yeah, that's pretty insane. I don't know, for some reason I like to see and feel the money going out the door. I'm just saying everyone has their Luddite thing and that's mine. No. Although if you buy something from like Alibaba or something, you should use PayPal, not anything else. Because if you try to put your credit card into Alibaba, it's not even that they'll try to steal it, but your credit card company will freak out, or your debit card company. Yeah. No. I don't know. I just. But and then you know it's weird because then you of course you know the postal service is mostly junk mail now. So I'll you know every so often I'll be like, oh shit, I missed a bill because I threw it out along with the pizza coupons, but. Yeah, I don't know. Really? so they cut and ran. Oh, that's funny. Oh, so you freaked out? Yeah, I got one here. It's must be a previous tenant. Oh no, parent, a guardian of someone. Oh no, what happened to their kid? Who knows? So, yeah. The first 2 years, 2.5 years, we did it biweekly. But then Revision 3, remember them? They were like, you know what? I think you'll do a lot better if you do one every week. And then so we figured was, you know, we would basically just kind of cut the episodes in half. So instead of like doing one project in 2 weeks, we would just have a two-parter of one project. And yeah, that did boost viewership. So we probably climaxed in inappropriate word used on purpose, probably in like, I don't know, 2014, 15. And then, like we were saying, it kind of has plateaued since then. So, oh well. Over the last year, where I decided, like, hey, well, we want to do like some longer term projects. That definitely hurt our viewership. Then the last 6 months, we've been, you know, like basically to finish things off, we've been just doing other cool projects, or like basically going back to just like a new project every 2 weeks. That definitely kind of boosted the viewership back up, but it's not really where it was before. And I think that's kind of everyone's having that problem because there's so much stuff on YouTube. I was watching Westworld, the new season, and the guy's like, I'm going to upload all the data from Westworld. And it's like 1.4 exabytes. And I'm like, oh, come on. In like 50 years from now, an exabyte's going to be in your, it's going to be like in a pill in your stomach. That's nothing. So, but right now, I think, what did they say? Like, even a few years ago, I think YouTube had like an exabyte of data on it. It's a lot. I think it's like a lifetime of footage is uploaded like every hour or something. It's ridiculous how much is on there. It's a lot. Yeah. But then, I think it's just harder and harder to for people to find stuff. I don't think it's really about evil algorithms so much as it is. There's just so much stuff on there. Oh, like the evergreen ones? Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, the people who do really well on YouTube are the ones who wake up every day and read back news stories into a webcam because there's always new content. Every day there's something new. And, I watch channels like that. I mean, I'll make fun of them, but I'll watch them. But I think, well, you're talking about like Classic Game Room, how people who that try to do like long form, higher quality content kind of just are like, piecing out. Like, I think the best example, I was on Amazon Prime looking at stuff, and Angry Video Game Nerd is on there now. And I heard that the CPM is a lot better. Okay. All right. It could also be the Walmart thing where they come to your town, destroy all the stores, and then jack up their prices. I think if Amazon really wanted, I think they could really pose a threat to YouTube. They really haven't tried yet. Yeah. Yep. Well, exactly. Like, if YouTube is becoming, you know, ever since it's became more about how long your videos are, how long people watch, rather than the number of actual clicks or views, that's what made all these Let's Play channels really popular. So YouTube became really dependent, or the creators became really dependent on Let's Play. So if Twitch has the ability to take that away, that presents a massive liability to YouTube. Especially when you consider that Amazon has a vertical integration where if they really wanted to, you could push the game sales, the digital downloads, physical media, all that could be tied intrinsically to Amazon.com and the Twitch user's account. Makes perfect sense. Yep. YouTube and Twitch. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, it's like that. When you set up a business model, you should probably make sure that you can't be broadsided like that. That movie pass thing that's always in the news, that credit card movie thing that's just, basically burning money. It's like all AMC or someone has to do is have their own version of that, and boom, movie pass is gone. It'll happen anyway. It's already going out of business. But I think that's good. Like with the movie theater, there needed to be a disruption because they were getting too expensive. But the thing is, that company's not going to be able to survive, although they may have given other people the idea. So yeah, like you were saying with Twitch, like Amazon has so many more avenues of monetization than YouTube does. It makes sense for people to go that way. I've watched Twitch streams, but I've never streamed or anything. I know I can do it with my PlayStation 4 is like built in, but I've never bothered to try. Oh, you just moved as well? I just moved too. I've moved before and I've had cardboard boxes that basically stay filled with junk the entire time I'm there until I move again. They never get unpacked. Yeah. Oh yeah. I want to take one of the bedrooms here and make it into like an 8-bit room, like the guest bedroom. I need to find like a CRT or maybe if I'm lucky, like a Sony PVM, then I can hook my old consoles up to it. I haven't found us. I'd love to. I saw a Sony PVM at a show once, and I think it was like had a crack on it, and it wasn't actually too expensive. But oh well, I think I flew to the show like it was like Portland or something, and it wouldn't fit in the overhead bin. So yeah. Oh, you gave it to someone? Oh man. All right. Yeah, I guess I try not to buy too much crap, but sometimes I think I bought like a Tandy color computer a couple of weeks ago at a garage sale. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, there might be some chips in there. So, but yeah, YouTube. I don't know. I guess even though I had a sponsored channel, I could still, it just doesn't really feel super important anymore. And then for me, I know a lot of people talk about like the YouTube treadmill or the Twitch treadmill. And I would feel the same for me. So for me, I didn't actually do the editing or anything. Someone else did, but we were still always building projects. And yeah, you're talking about how many episodes. Once we went, once a week, which was 2012 or 13, we released 52 episodes a year. So we would like double them up for the holidays or to take a break or vacation. So Yeah, it was pretty nuts, and definitely my blood pressure went up, and I gained weight, and I'm like, ugh, you just. And the stress goes up and down. The thing is, who said that if you work a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life? Plato or someone? I think that's bull crap. You can get sick of anything eventually. Like if your job was to have sex all day, you'd get sick of it. I'm sure hookers do. But yeah, a friend of mine was talking about that, and he was talking about playing some game. He's like, I don't think I'm going to stream it. I just want to sit in my living room and play the game and not have anyone watching it. And I'm like, Isn't that a crazy concept that you would even think that way? You know, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be relaxation. Video games. Yeah, yeah. Right. Right. Definitely. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. Right. Yeah. One thing I noticed with my show that would get annoying is, you know, we were always building stuff, so we would kind of argue with like the people filming it, and I was like, well, what if you were getting your car fixed, and you kept sticking the camera underneath the car and asking the guy if it was done yet, and you'd be punched in the face in about 30 minutes, and I'm like, sometimes that's how myself or Felix feels. It's like we just want to, because you know we're not just taking something apart and pointing at things in a movie. We're actually building things, and it's like we feel stressed out because it's like we feel like we're or felt like we were at odds with the production itself, you know, so. Actually, it did physically get in the way, and then that's one thing we did, like with the final season. We actually went around the shop, bolting. We made like pipe brackets that could bolt to the ceiling, and then like swing arms, so you could like put a camera up there and swing it down. But then when it wasn't in use, you could swing it up because, you know, if you're building something, like imagine if you went into like an auto shop or a welding shop and you put a bunch of tripods everywhere, right? And but that's kind of what we were kind of having that problem, and like the overhead cameras sped things up a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. But then you have these reality shows where they're filming a bunch of guys building motorcycles, and but of course they also have like an army of people making those shows versus like people on YouTube. Like even like what do we have? Four people, which is fairly large for YouTube. That's still nothing compared to like Discovery, and then to say nothing for another army of people that edit all the footage. It's a lot easier to film when you can just film everything, but then you have, you know, 30 people in a room doing the editing, so they have the time to go through all that footage, where, as again, we have one editor. I don't think I've ever yelled on camera, But I've definitely said very off-color things that will probably come back to haunt me if I ever, like, run for president or something. Or I guess that's all the range on Twitter now, right? With Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I'm trying to think, like, because the thing is, it's very much like it making a movie where you're, most of the time, you're trying to make it work, you're trying to get it ready, and only, like, 10% of it is actually filming, right? So the rest of the time, you're just, like, sitting there, or, like, you know, Felix and I would be waiting, we'll be ready to build something, ready to rivet something together, ready to solder it together, and then we're having to wait for the cameras. Anthony Hopkins once said, "I act for free, they pay me to wait around." And that's very much how it feels like. Because again, imagine if your mechanic was trying to, like, oh no, you can't put that radiator in until the camera gets the right light, right? And that's kind of how it felt. Because if you think about it, Felix and I are kind of like blue collar electronics people, just putting stuff together, you know. And then we're at the mercy of the filming. So that was always kind of like the great battle that we had. Anyway, so yeah, we'll be sitting there trying to get the camera set up, waiting for something to boot, waiting for something to heat up. And then we'll, you know, be telling, you know, awful stories and coming up with stuff or thinking of like new movies. Like we thought of the best idea for a Black Mirror episode the other day. It's about like this old lady and she's decrepit and her kids don't want to take care of her anymore. So they get her like an automated house, like evil Alexa. And then it starts to turn on her. And the twist at the end is that it's actually a hacker trying to steal her information. But she thinks it's like a ghost or a robot or an evil AI. So. Oh, see. Yeah, I got an Alexa last year on Prime Day. And I have it in my shop. And then I actually have another one here at home. And she is a sneaky bastard. She can hear you across the whole house. Like if I say, "Alexa." Yeah, she heard me. And even though she's like three rooms away. They're pretty fun. Like one thing you can do,